Who else? Merrill Reese, Eagles Radio Network. Looks like everything is fine, guys. Nothing to see here. A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts with the connection. Pearl off the passing game. Did look a lot better, so maybe players should be calling out the quarterback every week. That's the secret to the Eagles' success.
Yeah, I mean, that was... I think the Eagles' drama was always overblown because this was always game flow stuff. They had been establishing Saquon Barkley in this running game. And then the Steelers came out and said, we're going to stop Saquon Barkley. So, of course, they went to Brown. Brown has been upset because of lack of targets, like every wide receiver, every diva wide receiver. So, I don't think it was a personality. But maybe there is a personality conflict. But I don't think it was a personality conflict that was driving them. It was just A.J. Brown was mad because they weren't using him. So, I mean, predictably, they used him and it worked.
Okay, well, we all thought that it was just maybe the offense and the game flow and the touches and all that. Until Brandon Graham came out and said, actually, there's something personal going on between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, 1-11. That got confirmed to us later in the week by sources close to the situation. So we understand, we don't know exactly what it is, but we know it is personal in nature. And yet it didn't seem like it fazed him at all. And I thought the Steelers, I don't think this is indicative of the fact that they're like a bad team. I don't think this totally exposed the Steelers. However,
you think that totally exposed them?
Here's the thing about the Steelers. You are up on them by more than 10 points. Mm. And I know they did come back in the first half, but they should have been way more competitive in this game considering they were gifted two turnovers in the first quarter and then couldn't do jack squat off of them. And it's just the thing about, you've said it over and over again, that offense is just not good enough. And I was willing to say, okay, Eagles defense is elite. This is the reason why the Steelers look just inept on offense, or impotent, I think, mm-hmm. is probably a better word for it. I just fear for them if they get into the playoffs and they're all of a sudden down by two scores, I don't think they have an ability to come back.
Well, they had this run against very easy defenses, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Washington. This was the first good defense I've seen in a long time. And I didn't think they looked terrible. T.J. Watt was limping around. And obviously, he's their MVP. It's not even close.
Yep.
If you take him off the field, they do one little tricky thing that makes them dangerous. If T.J. Watt's healthy, they contain running quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts tried to run last night, couldn't do it. They've obviously...
He fumbled at one point?
Yeah, they've tortured Lamar Jackson. Mike Tomlin has Lamar Jackson's number. So I think your Bills are a running quarterback team. You know, say what you want about them. If Josh Allen's scrambling is a secret weapon, I think that'd be an interesting matchup. Maybe that actually, I think it's the one team in the entire NFL that might be able to contain Josh Allen. The question is their offense enough? And I don't think so. I don't think they're scary right now in the AFC.
I think a question in the NFC is, who is the best team in the NFC? Is it the Eagles or is it the Lions? Because obviously the Lions lose to my Buffalo Bills yesterday. Their defense continues to take hits. McNeil is going to be likely out for the season. Also, Carlton Davis. Obviously, we know about Aiden Hutchinson. He's been gone for some time. And all of these crazy injuries on the defense, Perloff, I believe the nod now goes to your Eagles.
Well, I appreciate that. And I agree with that, but I don't think you're asking the right question, really.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's just the Eagles and the Lions. I think the Packers are right there. I mean, right there. And I think the Rams, if they get in the playoffs, can beat any of these teams. And I think the Bucs are super scary. I think you have five teams that are really close in the NFC. So right now, I agree. The Eagles look like the best team because their defense is playing so well. And they didn't even need Saquon yesterday. That, to me, is the most encouraging thing about the Eagles. Saquon Barkley did nothing, and they dominated the game offensively with these long drives without Saquon.
There's another part where I want to give the nod here to the Eagles. And you're right, the Packers, and we'll see what happens with the Vikings tonight. And they're playing Monday Night Football.
I forgot about the Vikings.
Playing against the Bears.
Yeah.
And there's other teams in the NFC. You're right, the Tampa Bay Bucks now have won four in a row. I get all that. But I always thought that Nick Sirianni would be the bigger liability than Dan Campbell because I've been such a Dan Campbell defender. But yesterday was unforgivable from the Lions head coach. Unforgivable. You are in a game where neither team can stop each other in the fourth quarter now, right? Like, the defenses were just bleeding out. You're down 10 with 12 minutes to go, and with these new rules to attempt an onside kick, you can't surprise anybody anymore. So what happens? they declare that they want to have an onsides kick way too early, by the way, and the Bills are able to put their hands team out instead of just a regular, you know, kick return unit. And what happens? Mac Hollins ends up making this incredible play because he's a wide receiver, bats the ball to himself, and then runs to the 5-yard line, and then the Bills score another touchdown. They gifted the Bills a touchdown.
Do you think, though, the Bills might have scored a touchdown anyway?
Yeah, but on offense, not special teams.
Like, right. You know, but say they had kicked off normally and the Bills started their drive at the 30. I'm not sure the Lions could stop them yesterday.
Okay, maybe, but that's a risk that I want to take. Of you know what has happened, actually, if you watch the Bills closely, like you guys know I do? The Bills can be good for some bad false starts. They can be good for some Deion Dawkins personal fouls. They can be good for mental errors. Yeah, Sean McDermott across from you. It's not Vince Lombardi, guys. I would have tried to play the game more straight up than that, which is something I know you've been calling for months with the Lions. Like, you're a good team. Just play teams straight up. Stop doing the stupid stuff, the risky stuff. And I would have seen if maybe I get the Bills behind the sticks, you know, and I can come away. I can find a way to come up with one stop. That's all you needed. And instead, I think Dan Campbell panicked.
You're amazing. Yeah, you're worried about drive killers. The last time the Bills did not score 30 points in a game was October 14th.
Was that the Ravens?
The Jets.
Interesting.
And they won that game. They are unstoppable. There really aren't a lot of drive killers. But, you know, back to this topic about Dan Campbell sort of matching Sean McDermott in dumbness. I'm not sure. I think EJ said this earlier in the show. If you look around the league, the Eagles have Nick Sirianni. I don't know that there are these strong game managers around. I guess Andy Reid is obviously, like, they win all the close games. So is that the coaching staff that has this figured out?
Which is funny because that's not really what Andy Reid's calling card is. But I think you'd have to say yes.
He was famously the worst at all of this. You know, you got, obviously, Kyle Shanahan is famously bad at this. I don't know. Is Sean McVay maybe better? I'm trying to think. I don't think of him as a game manager. I think of him as an offensive guru. I don't know, Maggie, that Sean McDermott's any worse than anyone else. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, we know Dan Campbell. I mean, this one, I thought this was particularly brutal. And again, I'm somebody who's defended him in the past to say, hey, this is their identity. They go for it. But the onside kick at that point, three minutes into the fourth quarter.
Now we're going to see a Detroit team that is desperate and cornered because of the defensive injuries. Is he going to get more aggressive?
Probably.
Yeah.
And what was interesting yesterday is definitely how the Bills, who, you know, maybe they lost a lot of guys yesterday in the secondary, how they were able to stop the run for the Lions.
Yeah, they shut down Montgomery on the few carries he did have.
Which is crazy. So they had 15 carries, Detroit, as a team for 48 yards. This is what happens. You can't afford to get off to a slow start. The Bills scored on their first three drives, scored touchdowns, and now you're just playing from behind. And at times you have to abandon the run game. And it's a problem because, like, the good thing about the Lions is they have this quick strike offense. And that helps their ability to come back. But the bad thing is that because your defense is so banged up, you kind of want to kill some more clock, you know? Yep. Like, you can't control the game if your defense is this battered and bruised. Yep. And if you can't get your run game going, it just throws off your timing. It throws off keeping, you know, getting your defense, keeping them off the field. And instead, the Lions, they can score in 55 seconds. Good for you. But then the Bills will take the ball for another 6.5 minutes.
Absolutely. David Montgomery, 5 carries for 4 yards. And then I think he got banged up. That's a big deal. That's how you beat the Lions. You're right. They got control. Now, Jahmyr Gibbs is so special. It's unbelievable.
People to tackle him.
I'm an Eagles fan, but he's my favorite player in the NFL. I have no problem saying that. He obviously was a big weapon in the passing game yesterday. Not much in the run game. He's one of the secret weapons, but you're so right about the Lions. They have to protect that defense with a strong run game, and once you took that out. The other thing, too, the Bills are so impressive, and their first three drives were so gorgeous yesterday.
Yep.
Almost like the perfect offense. I heard this narrative a lot. They are clearly much better without Stephon Diggs.
Oh, interesting. I feel like that kind of got put to bed. You know, I think for the Bills, at least, I think they've moved past it. What I would say is their front office deserves credit for they kind of shuffled out a lot of guys. It wasn't just Diggs. Now, they took the biggest cap hit for a non-quarterback in the history of the NFL to get him out. But they had a lot of captains that they said goodbye to, a lot of aging veterans that you maybe thought, all right, one more ride here, one more bite of the apple. And a lot of people thought they were going to take a step back because of all the leadership they lost. But instead, it was the smartest thing they could ever done.
Well, the people were worried about
it. It's got to be Allen's team.
They were worried about the targets, though. They were worried about the lack of wide receiver talent. And I don't think that's a problem. It's the opposite. Now you have no idea where the ball is. Well, who was that guy they were throwing?
Ty Johnson. A running back has got over 114 yards receiving, which is crazy. And Amari Cooper was not even a thing yesterday.
Yeah. I don't think he had one target.
I forgot he was on the field.
That's our friend Albert Breer said, man, did the Bills do some tape study on the Lions' inability to cover running backs out of the backfield in the passing game, because that was almost unfair. The Lions couldn't tackle anyone. James Cook looks amazing, too. Is he like that every week? I'm asking because you follow so closely.
No, he is.
I don't think he was like that yesterday. Like, I don't see him breaking every tackle.
Well, the Bills just won the line of scrimmage, and he was able to, you know, listen, the Bills were also doing this thing where on first down, they were getting 5 yards, 6 yards. I mean, you do stuff like that on offense, you're basically going to be unstoppable because you're always unmanageable. James Cook has been great, but they have a three-headed monster running back room of Cook, and then they have Ty Johnson, who apparently is this massive weapon in the pass game, and then also Ray Davis, the rookie who got some acclaim because he had a really heartwarming story about, you know, he was homeless as a kid and a family sort of adopted him kind of blindside style, and he's been unbelievable, and I'll knock on wood when I say this, he's a rookie who doesn't fumble. I mean,
why would you do that? Jeez.
Wow. I got to be honest with the audience. It's like saying we haven't hit traffic yet.
Oh, you poor Bills fans.
AFC championship game. You already know what's going to happen in the fourth quarter.
Oh, Manny, I'm going to cut your mic.
You know, can we say earlier the show, Maggie was saying, like, I think this Patrick Mahomes ankle injury might be a big deal. That's going to come back to bite you, too.
Wait a minute. It's not about me. I have no influence on anything that happens.
Oh, that's going to hurt you. Oh,
all right, stay off that treadmill then.
That felt really bad the moment it left my mouth. I knocked on wood, though, guys. I said knock on wood. He's a rookie who doesn't fumble.
All right. We see it coming.
By the way, the treadmill wasn't working.
We don't even need Angela. I love Angela, the tarot card reader. I don't even need any tarot cards. We know how the Bills season's ending now.
You know, so we have Angela, the tarot card reader, came in before the season to try to predict what was going to happen. Do we want to fact check that?
Well, I remember she said that it was going to be a slow start for Rodgers, and then it was. She said it looked better at some point. I don't know when that's happened.
It has. He looks way better.
But she said at the end it was going to be a heartbreaking
end. Yes, painful end.
Which I'm like, what's been more painful than losing 5 straight games in the middle of the season?
Not getting the number one pick. That's what's going to hurt you, EJ.
Damn it.
Now you're far from it. You guys can't even tank correctly.
Look, Jeff Ulbrich did his job, okay?
My tank
commander did his thing.
Adrian is in Maryland, wants to weigh in on Dan Campbell. The decision to kick the onside kick 3 minutes into the fourth quarter, Adrian. Have you ever seen anything like it?
Well, Mike McCarthy did it when they were trying to come back against Baltimore. But they got the first one, and he tried it the second time, and it didn't get it. But it was a dumb decision by Dan Campbell to try to do that 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. At least kick it deep and make them work for the touchdown, even if they get a touchdown. You're not guaranteed that they're going to get a touchdown. It could be a field goal. Also, I just don't want to hear the excuses as, oh, this guy's hurt, the Lions got everybody hurt, 49ers got everybody hurt. There's tons of teams out there that got people hurt, and they're still getting through it, and they're working through it, the Rams, Tampa Bay. So that excuse has gone out the window for me with the injury excuse. You can't use it this late in the season.
Adrian, I'm with you. The only injury excuse that I generally buy is when your quarterback gets hurt. I mean, what do you expect? If your quarterback's out for the season or dealing with something big, I think that's a valid excuse. And then a pass rusher like a T.J. Watt.
Yeah, well, Aiden Hutchinson.
Played great after he got hurt.
Yeah, but then, you know, they clearly are missing something on defense. At a certain point, you knew losing Hutchinson would catch up to him, and I think that was Sunday.
Well, but they've also lost 10 other people. I don't think it was just Hutchinson. I don't put him in that T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett conversation.
Oh, get out of here. No, he absolutely would have surefire defensive player of the year. It wouldn't have even been close this year.
I know, but they went on to keep winning. The Lions are they're having a historic season, even though they lost yesterday.
Also, Maggie, one more thing. I know you're watching the game. You're watching it intensely. Do you hear the difference in the voice and Jim Nance of him kind of rooting for the Lions yesterday?
You know what I thought you were going to say, Adrian? Did you guys notice something was wrong with their mics after halftime? Did anyone notice that?
No.
The mics got weird.
I thought Romo was awfully relaxed in the booth. I was like, Tony, you're calling a major game. You're just like talking to a friend, which is kind of cool in a way.
I'm a very particular person of listening to the announcers and the play-by-play. And Jim Nance just seemed like he wanted the Lions to win that game. Just some of the things that were happening, he kind of felt like he was rooting for the Lions. And don't sleep on the Vikings, everybody. That's the problem I have as well. The Vikings are only one game back. They could have won the game against Detroit in Minnesota. It was a one-score game. So everybody's sleeping on the Vikings. They're going to actually, I think they may sneak in there for that one seed.
Interesting. Lots on the line. Definitely. Adrian, thank you. Tonight, Vikings playing the Bears, and I have laid the 6.5.
Absolutely right about the Vikings having a great chance to get that one seed. I don't know. Have to check the tiebreaker with the Eagles. I don't know if Jim Nance likes the Bills, but there's a narrative out there that the officials like the Bills. That is definitely like floating around the internet that if they run in the Chiefs-Bills game, the officials are going to be torn. I don't know if that's true. It does feel like, I don't know. That's going to be interesting because the key thing for the Bills, and I don't know if my Eagles ever play them, how do you officiate Josh Allen? Like, do you call the late hits or not? Or whatever they're called, or the roughing the passers. Because to me, when your quarterback weighs 260 pounds and is running over linebackers, there should be no roughing the passer in a game. But he's still calling for that flag on every single play.
He does, and he gets most of them, I'll be honest. But a lot of them are just the helmet to helmet. I mean, you've got to call that. And they missed one early in the game yesterday. I didn't think the Bills got any egregious calls yesterday.
I actually didn't think. You argue with this. I'm not sure that like, Amon-Ra St. Brown had that football, but.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
he had the football.
It was pretty, but they err towards it's a drop now. Like, that's the call. They never say that ball was caught anymore. Almost around the league, unanimously, it's always a drop.
The dude did the electric slide basically with the ball. Well, how many more football moves do you need? That was, I thought if Sean McDermott didn't challenge that, I would have had to start like a letter writing campaign or something to my congressman to try to get him out of the job because the Bills also hired like Terry McCauley. They hired the former referee to be on staff. I'm like, if this dude didn't tell them to challenge that call, fire him immediately.
Well, like, by the way, are we sure that they didn't? I know it went to replay assists. I mean, maybe they were going to challenge it, but they didn't get a chance to.
Basically, Romo's like, why aren't the Lions just running up and spiking the ball? And then they finally said, all right, or not spiking the ball, running a play. And then they finally said, all right, the referees have it. I think I have your answer about the Vikings. So if the Lions win out against the Bears, 49ers, and Vikings, they can still secure the number one seed, even if the Eagles win out too.
Well, yeah, the Lions definitely have the tiebreaker because they only have one conference loss.
Right, I'm not done. Yeah. The same thing goes for the NFC North race versus the Vikings. Win all three and you win the division. They have to think of this as a three-game season is what I'm seeing here for the NFC
North. So who is the Vikings have two losses. I know one was to the Rams, right? What's the other one? Help me out here. They lost to the Packers, right?
About the Bills? Are you talking about the Vikings?
The Vikings.
Yeah.
I don't have that off the top
of my head. I think it's Packers.
Then why do they get the tiebreaker? Help me out here. Okay. They lost to Detroit. I know it's like a bad weather game. So they lost to two NFC teams. Oh, man, this is going to be really fun because a lot of these teams play each other. We might have week 18 might be playing you, playing you're in. So I really want the Eagles to get the number one seed because the link was a clear advantage yesterday for them, too. Certain home fields make a difference.
Yeah, you're talking about who gets calls. The referees are afraid to make calls against the Eagles in the link because they think the crowd's going to throw batteries at their head.
As they should. I don't think Jared Goff wants to go to the link in the NFC title game.
He just threw that in there and just smooth. Yeah, as they should as throw they batteries. Should. Anyway, Jalen Hurts.
Let's assault the officials. Like, what? That's just Philly.
Philadelphians, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
How about Jalen Carter just smacking some dude in the helmet yesterday?
That was the smoothest cosign of fan assault I've ever seen, and I appreciate it, Pearl. That was awesome.
I'll tell you, well, what about that giant Steelers tight end pancaking Darius Slay into the third row for no apparent reason? Did you guys see that play?
That was justified.
What's that?
That was justified.
That was not. Oh, payback. Is there? Whatever.
Right now on X, who had the most impressive win in week 15? Was the Bills over the Lions, Eagles over the Steelers, Packers against the Seahawks, or Bucks over the Chargers, which was the whitewash that I did not see coming? You're welcome to go to Maggie and Pearl and you can vote. We should also do who had the worst loss of the weekend on the flip side of that, because there were so many stupid coaching decisions and so many dumb player decisions yesterday. It seriously was feast or famine. Either your team was playing the best game of the season, or the inexplicable errors and mistakes. That's what week 15 was defined by. And we'll get you some of those all-time dumb moves in just a moment. But first, we have this.
All right, Maggie. We're so psyched for the holidays because we can ignore our family and watch sports. I got a way to make it bigger and brighter. Prize Picks. Best place to get real money action while watching your favorite sports. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award-winning. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. It's so awesome right now because you have the NBA, you have football, and we're going to have all these Christmas games. Every night there's going to be so many choices. It's so simple to use. Pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money. I know we're going to have some vacation, but I will still be texting you every morning to tell you how I did.
Lucky me. It's the only thing Prof and I talk about off the air, on the air. It's all about Prize Picks. And by the way, for our friends in California and Texas, you are free to play Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. And of course, Picksmas season means Prize Picks is giving away $30+ million in rewards during this December Picksmas. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code M&P. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code M&P on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and detail.
Mand P.
The M&P 500 on the Infinity Sports Network.
Stock up and stock down time here, Maggie and Pearl off show. We go through the weekend's events and decide who we're into. Maggie, start us off.
All right, Pearl, I'm going to take one from your team. My stock up has to go to, can't believe I'm going to say this, Nick Sirianni.
Whoa!
Yep, this was a big week for the Philadelphia Eagles because you had a wide receiver and quarterback whose dirty laundry got publicly aired. And Nick Sirianni doesn't call the offense, doesn't call the defense. He's the vibes guy. And so if they had come out and looked disjointed or not together, he basically would have been firing himself. And so the fact that the Eagles look great, beat a in-state rival and another playoff team so soundly, I think Sirianni's stock has got to be up today in Philly.
What about the sideline fight with the defensive coach and the defensive player? Now that's, yeah, if you say one, it's a, if they had lost, that'd be a big deal. Okay, I would go with my stock up. A guy who could be in the MVP race if he didn't already have two MVPs, Lamar Jackson against the Giants. 21 for 25, 290 yards, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and let's throw in 6 runs for 65 yards. He's unbelievable right now. He's throwing the ball better than he ever did. Look at his stats for the year, Maggie. 3,580 yards, 34 TDs, 3 picks. 34 TDs and 3 picks. That's like 2021 Ohio State numbers. That's crazy in the NFL right now. He is seeing the field perfectly. I don't know that the Ravens are a great team because it's hard to tell against the Giants, but he is playing as well as I've ever seen him.
So the Ravens' point differential is plus 86. Do you know what the Bills is?
No.
Plus 135.
That's not that big. That's 45 points.
I know. I think it underscores that the Ravens defense has been so inconsistent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the Bills defense is now really taking on a lot of water, but.
But the Bills are in the AFC East. The Ravens are in the AFC North. I think that's one factor. I mean, anyway. All right, you're up. Stocked out.
Okay. Stock down. This is easy. The stock ups were kind of hard to find this week. The stock downs. Got to go with Dan Campbell. Oh, man, I've been defending him for so long, and I love his aggressiveness, but you're down 10. It's 3 minutes into the fourth quarter. You can't do this.
Here we go. 12 minutes to go. Onside kick. Ball bounces around. It's picked up by Hollins, and he's running with it. Hollins tackled down at the 5-yard line.
Just an all-time backfire blunder. All-time. And I don't think I'm playing the result here, although I could. Playing the process. You went for this way too early in this day and age where you have to declare the onside kick. You cannot surprise anybody.
They'll never see it coming.
Everyone saw it coming, Dan, except for you. Dan Campbell, stock down.
Okay. My stock down, I always have this guy's stock down, but now I want you guys to agree I was right. This is what this is about. Bryce Young is not good for the Carolina Panthers. He is not a starting level NFL quarterback facing a Cowboys team with nothing to prove. Finally, the Panthers are favored, first time in a long time, and he totally lays an egg. But you know what? He's just not great. He got sacked a million times, 19 for 28, 219 yards, one touchdown, two picks. But a lot of that production that looks okay was after they were down 27-7. He's not good. And the whole team is not good. I don't know how we bought into them because they're playing some contenders and the contenders sort of took them lightly and they made the game close. They're a mess.
I feel so dumb for not betting the Cowboys.
You saw that one coming?
What did we think? You know, really? The Carolina Panthers? Really? We're going to be favored? I know it's Cooper Rush, but come on. Made me feel dumb.
Again, the Panthers stock down.
All right, we back around to stock up?
Yep.
I'm going to go stock up Baker Mayfield. 4 wins in a row for the Tampa Bay Bucks. 22 for 27, 288 with 4 touchdowns. Did have a pick. Did have 1 sack.
Don't really care.
And, you know, I know Justin Herbert was compromised, Perloff, but the way that this turned into a blowout for Tampa Bay on the road, Todd Bowles against Jim Harbaugh, advantage Bowles. So I guess Baker Mayfield and with a little side of Todd Bowles, stock up.
Jim Harbaugh, I think you might be overrating him a little bit right now because once J.K. Dobbins got hurt with the Chargers, like, and their running game disappeared, it's been a bit of a disaster. Okay, my stock up is one that I did not expect to do. It's called the too little, too late stock up. But Davante Adams showed that he has still got his fastball. Unbelievable for the Jets yesterday. 9 catches, 198 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Jags. I saw enough. Run it back, baby.
Oh, wow.
Run it back.
Oh, no.
Bring back Davante. Bring back a healthier Aaron Rodgers. And let's go, Jets. By the way, there was a play where Aaron Rodgers was celebrating and he was trying to run around like he looked older than I've ever seen him look. He looked like me dancing. It was terrible. He's definitely old, can't move at all, but he discovered a secret formula on Sunday. Just throw every single pass to Davante Adams.
Man, just in time for the documentary to drop. Do you know how insufferable this guy's going to be when he does that McAfee interview this week?
I know. He was kind of insufferable after a loss. Garrett Wilson still had one big play. Like, this could have worked if you squint.
And we'll talk about the update, by the way, to the story about the Jets and Bill Belichick. Just a little bit.
Yeah, that falls into the stock way down category.
Should we leave it right there for a second? We got to get to Bogish and his headlines. Stock up, stock down. You're welcome to weigh in with yours at 855-212-4227. Sorry, Perloff. Did you have another one that I cheated you out of?
No, not at all. I mean, I was just going to stock up because Andrew Bogish is here. We're always excited.
No one believes that. Headlines are sponsored by PXG Golf for high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more. Make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com.
multiple crossed fingers around the NFL this morning. Some potentially major injuries suffered during Sunday's action. Geno Smith, the last name added to the list, hurting a knee in the third quarter of Sunday Night Football. His head coach, Mike McDonald.
This guy, probably the toughest player I've ever been around, was severe enough for him not to come back in the game. We'll do all the tests tomorrow and kind of figure it out as we go. But right now, just structurally, it looks like it's okay. But, you know, we got to get it imaged and all that stuff.
Sam Howell replaced Geno, the Seahawks scoring one touchdown on his seven possessions, losing to the Packers 30-13, dropping all the way to eighth in the NFC. The Chiefs with a rare easy win, 21-7 in Cleveland, but Patrick Mahomes did not finish that game because of a potential high ankle sprain. Post-game x-rays negative, more testing today. TJ Watt suffered a low ankle sprain in the Steelers' 27-13 loss in Philadelphia, and the Lions might have lost three more defenders for the season in their 48-42 shootout loss to the Bills. D-tackle Liam McNeil and corners Khalil Dorsey and Carlton Davis III, the injured players. Detroit already had 13 defenders on IR. But the scariest scene yesterday was Dolphins wideout Grant DuBose on the field for more than 10 minutes with head and neck injuries. Trainers and doctors cut off his jersey, removed the face mask of his helmet. He was even connected to monitors as he was carted off the field. He spent the night in a Houston hospital in stable condition. Tua Tagovailoa blaming himself for the throw that made DuBose open to a huge hit from a defender.
I'm my toughest critic when it comes to ball placement, when it comes to knowing where to go with the ball, and all of that. And you know, I just feel bad that I even put him in that situation.
The Dolphins lost the game in Houston 20-12 with Tua throwing a pair of fourth quarter interceptions. The Texans clinch in the AFC South when Indy lost in Denver 31-13.
I got to tell you one thing about that Miami game. It was a close game and it was a must-win game for the Dolphins. So Tua was not afraid to take big hits. I can't buy the future of this team because he got crunched a few times. There's just no way he's going to have a healthy career because to be at his best, he has to hang in the pocket and he can't do it.
Also, can we stop with the head first dives?
Yes, exactly. Like he plays with a little bit of abandon and he can't do that. He's got to get rid of it immediately every time.
You know, we've talked a lot about Mike McDaniels and sort of his new look. Yeah. And when I was watching him yesterday, I was like, this looks like a guy who's about to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's his fault necessarily, because you're right, there's issues with Tua's health.
Yeah,
he looked like dead man walking, did he not?
Well, they built his team to be offensively oriented, right? So, and they're just not delivering. They had 12 points yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's kind of looked like this for a while, right? I think Tua coming back somewhat kind of maybe gave him some fake hope. But right before Tua got hurt, he also looked like a guy was going to get fired.
Yeah, the other part, too, is, and listen, I mean, anyone can look how, like, physically, you know, you can style your hair in whatever way you want and the glasses and all of that stuff. But to be honest, like, sometimes it looks a little, like, not serious. Like, it looks like he's kind of leaning into, oh, everyone says, like, he's Mr. South Beach. And not like he's wearing a costume, but sometimes it looks like you're going to a theme party or something. It's like, that's just your look. You're deciding to wear your hair in that way, which you never did in San Francisco. It's like you're choosing to sort of have this lean-in look.
There's something inauthentic about him.
Yes.
Well, recently. I disagree with that because there's a famous interview. I just pulled up again. He was a ball boy for the Broncos as a kid, and he's got hoop earrings in both ears, which is very unfootball. He's always been, it's a wild look. He's always been a bit of a fashion outlier for the football.
But if
I don't think it's totally inauthentic to defend him.
It might not be inauthentic, but it does feel like it's too much. Like, isn't there a thing like when you're getting dressed, like you look in the mirror, like you take off one accessory when you're ready to leave, like the hair, the glasses, the sneakers, the capri pants.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot.
Jinx.
It's a lot. Like just do one thing less and maybe it'll be less annoying.
If he gets fired, do you want him as your offensive coordinator?
I would take him in a millisecond.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's serious. Like, do you think he'll land immediately as an OC?
No, he'll go back to Kyle Shanahan and I'm sure it'll be great.
I don't know if he should. I mean, you don't get to call plays there. Like, if you go back to Shanahan, you're just a pencil pusher if you're an OC there.
But where are you going to go if you're not going to be the head coach?
Well, like a team right that needs a huge...
Detroit loses their OC, go right to Detroit.
Ah, boy, that feels tough. Because I don't know. Is Mike McDaniel a Detroit guy? He's Mr. South Beach.
Detroit's the opposite. He's about to be an unemployed guy. Yeah. He better want a job.
It'd be great if he started dressing like a line worker at a car, like at a car factory.
He's doing
he had grease on his face and
now he's doing auto mechanic. Yeah.
He should dress just like Eminem did in 8 Mile. Just like skulling hat, oversized.
Yeah, every city you know, he's got work boots on the sideline.
Coaching in Tim's.
How about a Vrabel Mike McDaniel combo in Chicago?
Is he, I mean, now I'm doing the whole city thing. Is he a Chicago guy? I can't get
dressed up like the bear. Like he's doing line cook.
Mike Ditka mustache. And the bear. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's just, that's a great bit. Mike McDaniel interviews with every, shows up at a Cheesehead in Green Bay. And...
Cap you every assignment for today. Yeah. Mike McDaniel. What will he look like coaching every NFL team?
He's like a Ken doll now. There's different outfits for the jobs.
Now he's in Barbie's dream house.
Yeah. Shows up as the OC of the Cowboys, a gigantic cowboy hat. You can't even see his face. It's so big.
Literally
he's dressed
on a
exactly
horse.
Like Tom Landry. Just full everything. Suit, hat, it all.
Boots and spurs. Love it.
Lasso for Jerry.
Shows up to the Chiefs, just wears a fat suit. Puts on a mustache.
Nuggies.
Looks like the Hamburglar. That would work there, too. If Sunday wasn't enough, two games tonight. Vikings, Bears, Falcons, Raiders. Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman signs a multi-year extension before hosting a CFP game this weekend. That's reportedly for 4 years, creating a 6-year agreement. No dollar figures reported just yet. NBA last night, a true shootout in San Francisco.
Here comes Luka up the right side. Thompson comes to screen. Luka drops it off to Thompson. Open at the right wing for three. Down it goes again. A season high 25 for Klay Thompson. And the Mavericks have it back up to 11 on the 21st three made by the Mavericks tonight.
Chuck Cooperstein on Mavs Radio. Dallas and Golden State combining for an NBA single game record 48 threes. The Mavs winning 143-133. The Lakers cooled off the Grizzlies last night, 116-110. Memphis had won four straight. LeBron was back, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists in 34 minutes after missing two games with that foot issue. And Nebraska and Penn State complete the NCAA Women's Volleyball Final Four, joining Pitt and Louisville. All four were one seeds in their corners of the bracket. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. Coming up, we've got a surprise and shocking turn in one story that we thought was all but over. We'll get to that next. It's M&P. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So when I first heard this story, it actually sounded a little pathetic. And the story was that before Bill Belichick took the North Carolina job, he had actually circled back to the New York Jets, Pearl, of all teams, a team that he quit on back in the 2000s, early 2000s, as resigning as HC of the NYJ.
That's harsh to say that he quit on the team.
I mean, he did.
I'm joking. But, like, he literally like, quit. He quit via cocktail napkin.
Basically signed it on a dirty napkin as resigned as HC of the NYJ. And you know what? Listen, I get it. He wasn't sure who was going to own the team, whether it was going to be Woody Johnson or whether it was going to be the Dolan family. So, yikes.
Miss on both of those.
I mean, yo.
Go Knicks.
Finally go Knicks after 25 years. But anyway, so I can't believe that Bill Belichick, who has been taking shots at the Jets for years, did a documentary with Bill Parcells. Remember the two Bills where he refused to go into the Jets side of MetLife Stadium, take shots at Woody Johnson for every reason under the sun. I can't believe he actually circled back around to see if there would be any hope. And that was our pal Diana Rossini who was reporting that.
Yeah, it's a little sad, isn't it?
That
would probably be his last choice, I would think. He would probably want Jacksonville over that, Chicago over that, maybe even the Raiders over that. I don't think that there's many worse jobs for him than the Jets because Aaron Rodgers is so old right now. There's no certainty at quarterback. This is not a good sign for Belichick's NFL chances. Like, if the Jets aren't even interested, then who is going to be?
Okay, so that's the flip side of this.
Oh.
If you're the Jets, how are you not interested? Like, I saw this as this is sad for Belichick that he had to go to a hated rival to try to get a job before he signed with Carolina. To be fair, he looks very happy with the Tar Heels, but if you're the Johnson family, what is the matter with you? I get it because he's been insulting you for the Paisley the last 20 years. However, you have a chance to right this wrong. You do have a chance to bring in a guy who's going to slam dunk be better than any coach you've had since Bill Parcells, and it's not even close. So how would you not take that opportunity and bury the hatchet?
Yes, but you could argue, like, this is a team that needs a future. You know what? If EJ keeps saying get rid of Aaron Rodgers and get a young quarterback, like, how many years? To me, Belichick would be perfect for a team that's ready to win now. And I don't really, despite what Aaron Rodgers said, I'm not sure they're ready to win now.
I think that the Jets are looking for, yeah, I guess a future. But before that, can they just not be embarrassing? Can they just be stable?
Well, what's the point of that? No, I mean, honestly, like, every other team's like, they should tear down the studs and start everything over again.
They've done that. They've done that multiple times. They can't get it right. They need help. They needed help when Parcells came in, and Parcells was great, and they were going to AFC Championship games. And I guess Rex Ryan also with the AFC Championship games, and that was an amazing defense. But they've been floundering.
Yeah, and they turned that Rex Ryan came in and turned things around fast. Maybe Belichick could do that. I understand, like, the personality conflict was never going to mix, but I don't think he's the perfect fit for the Jets anyway. Like, imagine Aaron Rodgers is there next year on one leg and Bill Belichick, your 72-year-old coach. It just felt combustible.
I don't know. To me, I think this is unforgivable from the Johnson family that they can't put their pride to the side. Like, Belichick put his pride to the side, right? And even circled back around. And the fact that they would say no thank you because he's been insulting to you when you have a shot to get Belichick, to me shows that you're about you and not your franchise. You're about you and not your fan base. You're about you and you don't care about winning. It's all those things that you could accuse the Jets of. I think this embodies all of it.
Yeah, I think you're overrating Bill Belichick's NFL future as a coach. This is a Jets team that hasn't really been in Super Bowl contention in a long time. I know they made those AFC title games, but I don't see if they got Bill Belichick for next year, I would have to really squint to see them as a contender. Like, I just don't think it's happening with Belichick. I think the market has spoken, Maggie. I think they don't want him. I mean, I know you do, but I think the NFL, for a bunch of reasons, I know that there are conflicts and people think, oh, if you hire Bill Belichick, he's going to fire everyone in the building. But if he was that good and he was that surefire a Super Bowl winner, then somebody would swallow their pride and sign him, even if it risks their job. But I just don't think the NFL views him like that anymore. I don't think they think he's as good as he was, say, 15 years ago.
But that's a mistake. And it's all these bad owners that are passing on him. Do you notice that? It's all these owners who can't make a good hire that are passing on him.
Well, I mean, the Eagles have no interest. The Bills have no... I mean, well, I guess the Eagles are winning too much. Like... The Bills are winning too much,
but if you're a team like the Jets, if you're a team like the Jaguars, you're a team like the Chicago Bears, you're a team, you're really picking who? These presidents? You're picking Kevin Warren over Bill Belichick? Well, that is the wrong choice. That is wrong.
I don't know. All 32 teams are not interested. I mean, the Eagles had a chance this offseason to let go of Nick Sirianni and bring in Bill Belichick. I think Howie and Roseman, the GM, is close with him. I just think that there are a lot of teams, like 15 teams, who could have looked at him. Why did everyone say no?
I think it's not about Belichick. I think it's because they're finding reasons to say no.
The guy couldn't even get a top flight college job.
Who knew that he even wanted college? 855-212-4227. The fact that Bill Belichick, at first I was like, oh man, that's so sad for him that he had to go back around to the Jets. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, wait a minute. The Jets should have absolutely met him where he was.
Would you rather have Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, or Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick. You don't know if Ben Johnson can execute a coin flip.
Yeah, but I do know that I saw Sean McVay win a Super Bowl and, you know, promise 2 decades of success. I do know that Kyle Shanahan has won a million games in San Francisco. I do know what a young offensive guy can do. And Ben Johnson, except for Sunday, when he hits you with that running attack, and even in Sunday, I mean, the team scored 42 points. He's awesome.
We said this about Mike McDaniel. We have said this about Brian Callahan. We said this about Zach Taylor, at least did get to a Super Bowl, but he should be on the hot seat. We said this about Matt Nagy. We said this about how many offensive geniuses. Adam Gase, would you like to talk about the amazing...
Yeah,
the
but
immortal
all,
Adam Gase, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know. All those guys were singly quarterback dependent. I feel like... Ben Johnson's shown he'll beat you in 100 ways.
Coming up, every NFL game compacted into 60 short seconds. We do it next.